This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty, and this is our Spring Fun Drive. We've heard about all the progress being made toward autonomous cars. The idea is you get in, you'll sit back, and let the car do the driving. But what if you can't enjoy this new technology because you're too busy throwing up or wanting to throw up, which is just about as bad? Researchers from the University of Michigan Transportation Research Institute, UMTRI, have discovered that nausea, car sickness, is a real possibility for passengers in driverless cars. Brandon Shutley is one of those researchers. Welcome to the program, Brandon. Good to have you.
Thanks.
What did you find in your research? Just how sick did people feel?
What we did was we combined information we had from a couple different studies. Specifically, we had one study where we asked people, what do you think you'll be doing as a passenger in a self-driving vehicle since, by definition, you'll no longer be driving? And we did another study a few years ago, actually, where we asked people just about general motion sickness in vehicles and took a look at what it was that generated motion sickness. Unfortunately, a lot of the things people think they'll be doing in self-driving vehicles fall on that list of things that cause motion sickness.
Such as
reading, which includes things like texting, doing work, which would involve looking at your phone or video screens, generally things that take your view away from the outside world and refocus it back to the inside of the car.
Would it also depend on the distance or the type of roads, or does it just kind of happen in general?
The more you're exposed to it, the worse it gets. Mm-hmm. And often people who do get motion sickness find that if they can do short trips, it helps alleviate some of that. But the more forces your body's subjected to that you have to sort of account for as a passenger, all of these things, your inability to control the vehicle itself, so you can't really anticipate moment to moment what's going to be happening, all these things contribute to this general feeling of sickness.
Did you get a sense how many people, what percentage of possible passengers in these self-driving cars might experience this?
We expect somewhere in the 6 to 12% range will get either often, frequently, or always motion sick. And again, these are generally the same people, though not always. We found that roughly the same percentages will get severe to moderate motion sickness at some point. Not necessarily every time, but to the point where it affects your ability to travel in a vehicle.
Okay. Well, then the question comes, what is going on when this happens? Do we know what causes this?
There's a variety of factors. Your inability to control the vehicle is one of them, which leads to the inability to control your own physical posture. And all of this comes back to this disconnect that occurs between the eyes and the ears. If you're looking inside the vehicle, your ears are telling you that the world's moving around quite a bit, where your eyes are telling you nothing's moving at all, and your brain doesn't like this conflict. There's speculation that this is actually a very old mechanism in the brain that triggers when you've been poisoned. When you get this sort of disconnect between the feelings, it just so happens that motion can trigger it as well.
So kind of what happens on an amusement park ride?
Amusement park rides, IMAX or 3D movie theaters can do it. Mm-hmm. Video games for some people. Video games would be the opposite. Your ears are telling you nothing's happening and your eyes are telling you the world's jumping all around. So either direction of the disconnect leads to this feeling.
Is there anything that the car makers and their engineers can do about this?
We think so. The more you can open up people's view to the outside world, I've seen some neat but possibly problematic prototypes for self-driving vehicles that have very small windows, very restricted views of the outside. A frequent thing you'll see is people facing backwards. That's something that really contributes to motion sickness. Facing forward is a big help.
And you're talking to someone who grew up in a Chevy station wagon where I was in that back row facing out back. That is not fun.
No, I'm familiar with those myself.
Yes.
Sleeping is kind of one of the magic non-medicinal cures. For people who do get motion sick, sleeping tends to keep it from occurring. If you combine that with lying back, whether you sleep or not, that also helps alleviate a lot of the symptoms. And there's certainly even some fancier things people can do with the displays in cars where they sort of mimic the motion of the vehicle to kind of keep your eyes and ears in sync with each other.
It's kind of interesting when you think we certainly hope we don't have to take a motion sickness drug in order to drive to the grocery store once the day comes when we have these self-driving cars.
That's right. And we think that's not one of the best solutions because of how frequently most people use their vehicles, having to take some sort of medication. And usually you have to take it ahead of time.
Yeah.
You can't take it right when you're getting in the vehicle. There's a little bit of a lead time.
But what is the message for the designers and the makers of these autonomous cars?
Don't restrict the views of the passengers. Again, we would recommend forward-facing seats. Now, this will vary from person to person. You'll get some people who will have no problems with this at all, and you'll have other people who, with all of these countermeasures we've discussed, will still have a problem in cars. But at least keep it to the current levels we have in vehicles and not make it any worse.
Brandon Shutley with the University of Michigan Transportation Research Institute with some interesting thoughts as we proceed into the new world of autonomous cars. Thanks so much, Brandon.
Thank you.